In the early 90s, communication scholars began talking about the old concept of the newspaper. The, you know, those things on paper with ink.
Terry Mattingly speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The concept behind this, they called it the Daily We. That there was supposed to be a media product that we would consume that would help us learn about other people in our community, in our nation, and that we would at least be consuming some of the same information for the sake of debate, discourse, etc. The internet is absolutely brilliant at destroying the Daily We.
You can listen to Terry Mattingly's presentation, Making the Case for News Discernment, on an audio DVD of both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. I heard it a lot. I must admit, I even believed it in part for a long, long time, lifelong Lutheran that I am, that we really don't have much to say about the Christian life, we Lutherans. We may have a little bit to say occasionally. We might occasionally, when we're teaching our kids the catechism, kind of stray in that direction when we're teaching them the Ten Commandments, but then we're quickly done with that. And for the most part, Lutheran theology doesn't have a lot to say there. It's certainly a criticism that non-Lutherans level at Lutheran theology and Lutherans, that they don't have much to say about the Christian life. They will point out things like, well, you know, the apostles, to a man, have a lot to say about it, and golly, Jesus also has a lot to say about it, too. Now, for a long time, I just simply said, well, what they're really saying is these are the things you ought to do, but you can't do. They were simply pointing out the impossibility of doing truly God-pleasing good works. Well, that answer held up for a while until, well, Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions had their say. We're going to be talking about the Christian life. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Joining us, Pastor Will Whedon. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word, and author of a brand new book out just today called Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recovering the Joys of Piety. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Joy to be with you, Todd.
Also, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator for LCMS Stewardship and author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here, Todd.
Will, for you first, why is it, do you think, that Lutherans have gained the reputation of having nothing to say about the Christian life? We got a lot to say about faith, so to speak, but not much to say about life.
Well, I think it's not an unfair evaluation of what people hear from Lutherans in the 20th and 21st century. The truth is, we haven't talked a lot about it. And it's not that we didn't have a lot to say about it. It's not that our theologians didn't have a lot to say about it, that our confessions don't have a lot to say about it. But it's just the fact that we haven't talked about it. We pretend it as though saying the justification of the sinner by grace through faith in Christ is by itself, in and of itself, the whole enchilada. And Luther was really clear. I mean, the great Galatians commentary, there's the grace, there's the gift that comes in grace. Grace, the pardon, the forgiveness of God, the justification of the sinner. But the gift that comes in grace, the Holy Spirit, who begins the inner renewal of the Christian life. And we've not talked about it for 100 years or so.
You're nodding your head there, Heath.
Yeah, and it's frustrating, as Pastor Whedon just noted, because I mean, you can't flip through the Small Catechism, the basic text of Lutheranism, that every Lutheran, when they're confirmed, this is the touchstone. You're asked, do you believe that the faith you've learned from the Catechism is faithful to the Scriptures? So this is the basic text for Lutheranism. And all through the Catechism, starting right at the beginning in the Ten Commandments, Luther is telling you how to live a godly Christian life. And that continues through his beautiful explanation of the second article of the Creed, where he talks about, again, what Pastor Whedon was talking about, salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of his Father from all eternity, true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who's redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me, right? Goes through all that, And then the last bit of that paragraph, so that I may be his own and live and follow after him in innocence, righteousness, blessedness. And all the way then till the much neglected seventh chief part of the catechism, the table of duties, which is a list of Bible verses, again, about in very practical ways, very practical Bible verses. Here's how to live a godly life. I understand what's going on in 20th century Lutheranism in a new place in America. We're really coming into our own, and there's a desire to be distinctive and to make sure that we're not falling into the pitfalls, either of a Roman Catholic style works righteousness or into an American evangelical style focus on works that's very detrimental to faith. I understand. But if you become defined by your opponents rather than your own positive theology, it's very warping to the overall project you're trying to do.
Let's talk about that positive theology. That is what Lutherans have had to say about this. Well, let's go back to the Reformers themselves, to the, we could call them the framers of the Lutheran confessions. Did they have that concern not only about faith, but also about the fruit of faith?
Sure. I mean, you see it already in the Augsburg Confession, right? I mean, after you get done with the office of the ministry, you move on to the new life, the fruit of the new life in Christ. And that's a very important point that's there, the new obedience. Chemnitz, let me give you some quotes from Chemnitz that I think are just gold. These are all from his great examination of the Council of Trent. So he's addressing himself to Roman Catholics, and the slander for him at that time was, well, you guys really don't care about works because you don't care about rosaries and things like that. And he's like, we care a lot about works. It's a different set of works, the ones that God himself commanded. But this is what he says. The healing and renewal itself is not such a change that is immediately accomplished and finished in a moment, but it has its beginning and certain progress by which it grows in great weakness, is increased and preserved. Examine 1, page 424. Similarly, the renewal of the new man as the mortification of the old is not perfect and complete in this life, but it grows and it's increased day by day, until it's perfected in the next life, when this corruptible will have put on incorruption. Examine 1, 538. And last one to think about from him. But men are to be admonished that they should, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh and firmly adhere to Christ by faith, and through the use of the word and sacraments, become more and more united with him and seek from God the gift of perseverance and wrestle, lest the wantonness of the flesh drive out the gift of perseverance. Examine 1, page 607. I mean, he really clearly lays out there a couple things that people are really allergic to these days. The idea that there is an increase in godliness in the Christian.
Worked by the Holy Spirit through his word.
By the Holy Spirit through the word. And that the shape of it is literally becoming more and more united with Christ. His joy, your joy. His love, your love. His peace, your peace. And it grows.
Right.
And we need to be clear, the gift is given whole. It is given whole and entire. But then you have the joy, 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And that is really something, you know, just look at how much biblical language you would have to avoid to try to teach that there is no growth in sanctification, or to teach that there's no cooperation on the human side when it comes to sanctification. I mean, St. Paul, I think every preacher with great fear and trembling should be able to say at least what St. Paul does, you know, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. You know, that Paul is not afraid to talk about sanctification and that kind of language, giving directives, using the imperative, telling people to walk by the Spirit, telling people to combat the desires of the flesh, to fight. Again, Luther's language in the section on baptism, the Small Catechism, baptism teaches us that we need to, by daily repentance and contrition, drown that old Adam. Right, that it's a very active thing. I'm seeking greater holiness. I'm seeking to be more like my Lord, not because I think that's going to get me into heaven, but precisely because I know I'm already going to heaven. Because I belong to my Lord Jesus Christ, of course I want to do better, please him more, and so forth.
It's not so much that you do it to get to heaven, you do it to live heaven now.
Correct.
I mean, it's this gift that he's given us that we literally get to grow out into. Yeah. You like to point to that passage in Small Cut Articles, which is also gold.
About losing your faith? That one, that Luther is... Again, Luther being such a polemicist, that is being a guy who's involved in so many controversies and having to argue for a position, you often, if you pull, Luther is very easy to pull out of context. And so you can find passages in Luther that really sound like, well, sanctification, who cares? Christian life, who cares? But then when you look at Luther's theological last will and testament, the small called articles, by that time, not only is Luther's thought mature, the Reformation is really mature. And he's
convinced he's going to die, and he wants not to be misrepresented.
Correct, on so many topics. And one of the big ones is this issue of, does the law matter in the life of a Christian? Does a Christian's sanctification matter? And it couldn't be spelled out more clearly, where Luther says, now, aside from the fact that all Christians struggle with original sin in their daily life. Aside from that fact, we're all going to stumble. We're all living that Romans 7 life, right? The good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. We never outgrow that struggle, he says. But aside from that, when Christians fall into great shame and vice, and then he gives the example of David and the whole Bathsheba affair, he says, look, guys, don't kid yourself. The Holy Spirit and faith have left that person. When you jump into sin with both feet, that's not the Romans 7 lifestyle. Because what does the Romans 7 lifestyle say? The good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do. And so Luther looks at that archetypical narrative of what's going on with David, where he's got so many exit ramps off the sin highway, right? So I'm out taking a walk. I catch a glimpse of a lovely lady taking a bath. Decision point one. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you in that situation?
Go back in your house.
Go back inside, right? Take the equivalent of a Hebrew hot cold shower. I don't know what that was in his day. I don't think he had running water even in the palace. Whatever it might be. Think about baseball. And so many points along there to where it finally gets to the death of Uriah and the covering it up and everything else. Luther uses that to teach us this is what, like John means in his epistle, where he says there's a sin that leads to death and a sin that doesn't lead to death. We all struggle with sin. We're all going to fall and stumble, and the Holy Spirit calls us back right away. And every Christian listening knows that experience of, I wish I was better than I am. But Luther takes the biblical text very seriously that you can push the Holy Spirit away. So we've kind of gotten to two topics now on this sanctification.
But they're tied.
They are tied. Because another thing that often goes with this, there's no such thing as progress in sanctification, it's often very closely tied to the once saved, always saved theology. That it literally doesn't matter what I do. And so you'll hear, I don't think this is a good way for Christian preachers to talk. There's nothing you can't out-sin God. Boy, a lot more needs to be said about that. Because that statement is true or false, depending on the theological baggage you're putting around it. Do you mean that Jesus died for every sinner and every sin? Then that's true. You can't out-sin God. Jesus died for them all. His sacrifice covers everybody. Does that mean I can never sin in such a way that I'll lose my salvation? Oh, no. You can lose your salvation. That's very clear in the New Testament. Paul even names people who have lost their salvation by name.
We're talking about the Christian life. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, along with Pastor Will Whedon. A new audio DVD from our 2017 Making the Case conferences includes plenty of teaching on the Christian life, Lutheran piety, natural law, depression, the Reformation's relevancy, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, religious liberty, the Benedict option, engaging the news media, and more. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300 to Issues, etc. You can order by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also order online at issuesetc.org. It's almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching on an audio DVD from both of our conferences this year. When we come back, they had mentioned these two topics: no progress in sanctification, and once saved, always saved. We'll go back over those in some detail after this.
your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're having a conversation on the Christian life. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Pastor Heath Curtis, author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life, here in the studio. Pastor Whedon, before the break, you two were talking about two topics that were related to one another in this notion of good work, sanctification, things like that. What were those again?
That there is growth in sanctification, mm-hmm. that this actually happens, and we need to talk about the character of that growth in a second. And the second thing is that people think once saved, always saved, so they lose the fear of losing their salvation, as though you can sin with impunity against your conscience. And I've said 1,000 times, God loves to forgive, I love to sin, such a deal. Right. That's the essence of what our theologians called carnal security.
And we should probably add a third, which is a God's promise of both temporal and eternal rewards.
Amen.
For good works.
And temporal and eternal punishments.
Yes. So the key text there is 1 Corinthians 3. And again, think about, perhaps you have heard some preacher of some evangelical denomination, whether Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever. These are the kind of passages you'll hear people try to explain away, mm-hmm. right? We shouldn't have to explain anything away in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 3, St. Paul says, listen, there's no other foundation but Jesus. But take heed to how you build on the foundation. Are you building with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw? Now listen, on the last day, the day is going to reveal the character of every man's work. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, you'll receive a reward for that. The wood, the hay, the stubble, that's going to be burned up. You're still going to be saved. You're on the foundation. You're still going to be saved. He himself will be saved, but only as through fire.
And you will suffer loss.
And you will suffer loss. Yeah. Right. And so, good works, I mean, again, think about if it weren't so. Think about what the world would be like if God did not normally bless good works with temporal blessings.
Mm.
This is how Gerhard, to go to the next mm-hmm. generation after Chemnitz now, the great theologian of the early 17th century, think about, he says that both temporal and eternal rewards are promised to our good works with the exception of the cross. He says, now, of course, you're going to suffer sometimes for doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but he specifically calls it the exception, that suffering, that kind of cross, suffering for doing good, is an exception. Again, think about what the world would be like if that were not so. What if you usually suffered for doing the right thing? I mean, that's an upside-down world. But actually, the truth is, you usually suffer for doing the wrong thing, you're usually blessed for doing the right thing, and it's a fallen world. So sometimes sometimes blessed are you when men speak all kinds of evil against you for my sake. But think about how the world would be different if cheating on your wife made you happier.
Mm-hmm. And her happier.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It ruins your, breaking the sixth commandment ruins your life. Stealing from work will get you fired, et cetera, et cetera. And what an upside down, terrible place the world would be if God didn't normally. And this is an act of God's grace, that in this world we're still blessed for following our Lord because the world is so broken. So we should look at this, even this is a manifestation of God's grace, that usually that's how things work.
Mm-hmm. One thing I think I don't want to lose before we move on. I mean, that's a really vital area to talk about too. I mean, most people have never thought about the confession of sins they make when they say that week after
right,
week.
Right.
Temporal and eternal punishment.
Right, yeah.
The nature of this, the growth in sanctification, is not internally focused, navel gazing, look at how strong I'm getting, you know, flexing your muscles, in you're showing your abs to your spiritual mirror. It really is this growth of looking up and away, so that your focus grows on Christ and away from yourself.
That's absolutely vital, that the eyes of the Christian are always focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, his grace on the cross. This is my utmost motivation. But just like any father who raises a child, I need more motivation than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love for my kids to do their chores just because they love me. They should. They should do their chores just because they love me. But we've got some hope of reward and fear of punishment too. That's training.
Hebrews. It's vital. Yeah,
Hebrews.
Right.
We need training. But in the midst of things, and I think this is what's behind the psalmist when he says, right, and forgive the sins of our youth.
Yeah.
That one evidence of this growth and sanctification is, I can't believe I ever did that.
Yeah.
I mean, can't believe I ever wanted to do that.
And I think there's this growing sense, I mean, we as we grow along in our Christian faith, there are points at which we sort of look back and we go, I don't even know if I was a Christian then.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right,
you
right,
just
right.
have this moment where you look back and you go, how could I possibly? And we're so blind and ignorant about that. And this,
yep.
isn't it a grace and mercy of God that he doesn't show us how hopeless we are all at once?
Right.
It is something that, I mean, he does this little by little little.
And that's why this growth and sanctification is never a cause for pride.
No.
Because it's always revealing to yourself.
More of your corruption.
Yes.
I mean, that's why St. Augustine said that we have to remain under God's pardon to the end, or we would be tempted to attribute too much to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this pardon to the end is vital, and it's really clear in all the Lutheran teachings.
Why, in the famous words of that chapter in Boyertz's Hammer of God, the guy asks, why has Jesus let me remain a sinner when he's on his deathbed? Mm-hmm. Now the response comes, so that you would learn to love Jesus.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
that simple.
Yeah. To
so
keep you humble.
I want you guys to deal with another thing that I often hear, and here it's kind of this 20th century, 21st century distortion of a Lutheran view of the Christian life. And I just call it bound to fail.
Hmm.
And we often hear it in this, you know, I'm going to sin, but I know those sins are forgiven, but I'm going to sin. And then either spoken or unspoken is the implication. So why try?
Why try?
Bound to fail. We'll deal with that if you would.
Well, I think it's one of the most deadly spiritual ailments. I didn't understand it first. I had some people that when they left Lutheranism, right, they became other, they crossed a river, some body of water. And the comment frequently made was that they said Lutheranism was spiritually damaging to me.
Mm.
And I didn't know. I mean, I was like, well, how can you say that? What are you saying? And then it finally, it dawned on me, they were hearing that as Lutheranism. They were
right.
hearing, oh,
yeah.
well, I mean, I have a sinful flesh. I'm always going to have this sinful desire. There's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well enjoy it.
And it's a really truncated version of Lutheranism.
So, oh my gosh, yeah.
So for example, you know, here's a quiz. Do you have a bound will? And Lutherans will say yes, because, you know, 20th century Lutherans, because, you know, well, yeah, I know Luther wrote on the bondage of the will, and yeah, it's a big deal. Oh, yeah, yeah, we have a bound will.
And I mean, how do they subscribe to the confessions when they say
Correct,
that?
Correct, because our confessions clearly say that baptized Christians have been given a new birth, new life, that we really believe all the stuff the Bible says about regeneration.
And even uses the word a liberated
a
will.
A liberated
right.
will.
And the past right. tense is important. I mean, it doesn't say that you have a free will as though that's some sort of endowment that all people have.
Right.
It says that you have a freed will,
right.
a liberated
mm-hmm.
will.
Yeah, and so now you're growing. And in great weakness, the confessions also say,
always.
It's not as though you and the Holy Spirit are two oxen pulling the same cart with equal weight. No. We are very dependent. But it's not as though you're not a dead body anymore. You really are reborn, regenerated. You really are growing. And again, you would have to cut off the last third of every one of Paul's epistles to go with that caricaturized version of bound to fail.
Well,
you can't read one of Paul's epistles and see, well, Paul didn't expect anybody to try anything. That one third of his epistles, at least, are dedicated to getting people to try.
Right, right. And he holds both of these truths together, right? Really clearly. I think about the passage in Philippians. Work out your own salvation fear and trembling, not putting any trust in yourself. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good purpose. But you work out your salvation. He's got both of them. It's in two verses. We're like, wait a minute. I'll take the first one, but you have the second one. It's like, no, they go together.
And this also, you know, clears up any, Lutheran hangover about James 2 as well.
Mm-hmm.
James, when you understand this, James 2 makes perfect sense. Of course, you know, James is guarding against this theology that says faith is nothing more than knowing about Jesus. And he says, well, no, faith is trusting your Lord Jesus. It's knowing him. It's being connected to him. That kind of faith will always have good works. If your so-called faith doesn't come with good works, well, you need to take a step back and make sure. I'll show you what my faith looks like. I mean, you can see that the rhetoric just, it follows very cleanly from this theology.
Yeah, I'm trying to find real quickly Treasury of Daily Prayer's reading for today, or writing for today, I should say. Quotes from Luther's preface to Romans from Formula of Concord. Listen to these words. I mean, if Luther said, I mean, you always wonder, Luther, you're so clear on this. Can you not see that's exactly what James is saying?
Right.
Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and all creatures. And this is the work that the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything out of love and praise to God who has shown him this grace. Thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as to separate heat and light from fire. Yep. If we have that saving faith, those works will be there. And so the great desire in Chemnitz is that we be more and more united to Christ, that this faith in Christ grow and grow and grow.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, along with Pastor Heath Curtis. On this Wednesday, November the 29th, we're talking about the Christian life. When we come back, is the scriptural teaching of simultaneously saint and sinner lately abused? Stay tuned.
This year, keep Christ at the center of your holiday reading list with the Lutheran Witness magazine. Enjoy articles on the Virgin Mary, family Advent activities, candlelight services, and more. The December issue even includes a special Christmas gift guide for Lutherans. Visit cph.org/witness to start or renew your subscription or to purchase a gift subscription for a loved one this Christmas. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Christian life. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio program called Thy Strong Word. He's author of the book, brand new, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recovering the Joys of Piety. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He is coordinator for LCMS Stewardship and author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, and the December issue even contains a column from Pastor Wheaton on how Lutherans view Mary appropriate to the Advent and Christmas season. You can receive 6 digital or print issues for only $6.99. Learn more at cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness, cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness. Here's another one, Heath. Do 20th and 21st century Lutherans sometimes abuse the scriptural teaching that we usually call simultaneously saint and sinner in this truncated view of Lutheran teaching?
Yeah, I call it theology by cliche, you know, because we learn a few sayings, well, proper, you know, long gospel, word and sacrament, simultaneously sinner and saint, faith alone, we have a bound will. And those things are kicking around in our head, and we spent time learning those things, and we learned those against Roman Catholicism, American Evangelicalism, Baptist theology, Calvinist theology. We learned them all very well. But then if those all you have are those cliches running around in your head, you're going to have this theology that is characterized really simply by arguments with other people. And so I think that's absolutely right, that I'm simultaneously sinner and saint becomes, well, you know, it can become an excuse, a homiletical excuse. And what is lost, essentially, is the reality of baptism, the reality of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. And those things become merely academic or merely intellectual, that, okay, I believe in Jesus, now I'm going to be saved. But the Bible actually talks about you have really been reborn. You are really the new child of God. Something new has happened in your life. And now follow me. Now be imitators of God as you are. Now be at war for the desires of the flesh and the spirit at war with one another. So walk by the Spirit. Combat the desires of the flesh. And again, in Luther's way of speaking, drown that old Adam each day in contrition and repentance.
Yeah, I mean, I want to pick up on that from the Large Catechism, too. I mean, that what this oftentimes runs with, I think, on a misunderstanding, you can tell me if you think I'm off base here, either of you. You hear people use total sinner, total saint.
Mm,
yeah.
100%.
I got to plead guilty. I used that for 20 years.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny to me that's something I've asked people. I say, where does Luther say that? Can you show me I've never yet seen the place where Luther uses that language. And I know that even if he did say it, our confessions and his writing in the confessions says something else. Listen to these words. This is from the Larger Catechism on Baptism. Both of these things must take place in all our lives. So a truly Christian life is nothing other than a daily baptism, once begun and ever to be continued. This must be done without ceasing, that we always keep purging away whatever belongs to the old Adam. Then whatever belongs to the new man may come forth. What is the old Adam? What's born in human beings from Adam? Anger, hate, envy, unchastity, stinginess, laziness, arrogance. Yes, unbelief. The old man is infected with all these vices and has by nature nothing good in him. Now, when we come into Christ's kingdom, these things must daily decrease. The longer we live, the more we become gentle, patient, meek, and ever turn away from unbelief, greed, hatred, envy, and arrogance. This is baptism's true use among Christians, as signified by baptizing with water. Therefore, where this is not done, the old Adam is left unbridled. He continually becomes stronger. That is not using baptism, but working against baptism. And in the passage that Pastor Curtis referenced earlier from the Smolcutt Articles, he even uses the word partially. We're partially pure and holy, he says. Is again not denying that in Christ you've been given his perfect righteousness, but you've not perfectly appropriated it.
Yeah, you're still growing. And this is, you know, we could say this is a deficiency in some parts of contemporary Lutheranism's understanding of sanctification, but we could also say it's a deficiency really in anthropology.
Anthropology, right.
What do you mean by that?
Of understanding the doctrine of man, the doctrine of what is a human being. Again, part of it is as simple as, do you believe that after baptism, your will has been liberated?
Yeah.
That you are free to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? And again, how do you make sense of the New Testament authors speaking to Christians in the imperative and pleading and encouraging? That just can't be explained as simply saying, well, that's just to show them they can't do it.
No, I mean, that drives me insane when I hear that. Yeah. But, you know, I want to stress that is something that is so prevalent. I participate on a discussion board where I made the point about the cooperating with the church, I was literally told by old Lutheran pastors, mm-hmm. I've never heard that. That's not what we believe. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute.
So what's in their head is cliche theology.
Right.
They know that Roman Catholics teach you cooperate in your salvation.
Right.
And we deny that. We deny that you could ever be an efficient cause of your own salvation. But they know the cliche, they don't know the rest of the story, which is that, but once you've been saved by grace alone, by the Holy Spirit's action alone, now your will is freed, you're called to participate with, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you are no longer passive.
Yeah.
Justification is an instant, and Luther says we're purely passive in justification. Mm-hmm. Amen. But justification is instantaneous.
If it's a vivification, then
right.
you're alive.
And you're
either alive or
moving.
Dead.
Right.
So this is my theory, because maybe about a year ago, I started to hear fellow Lutherans do a lot of quoting of Gerhard Ferdi, and Ferdi has this. He's talk about, what did you say, cliche theology. He's kind of the
he was good with one-liners.
Yeah, he was good with one-liners
for sure.
And one-liners don't make for very good theology sometimes if you push them too hard. He talks about sanctification as simply growing accustomed to or getting used to our justification. And this is my theory. My theory is that what's happened there is a confusion, a mingling of justification and sanctification.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
By saying, well, justification is purely passive and excludes all human cooperation. And if sanctification is just getting used to that, then sanctification too must be purely passive,
right.
And
just
exclude all. You're better off doing nothing at all. Not even struggling against sin, because that would be trying something.
Well, you know, and it's not an accident that people that really push that way of thinking, they come from a tradition where the formula of Concord is simply not held as mm-hmm. a doctrinal standard to the same degree mm-hmm. that, I mean, like if to be a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, you know, you've said amen to the Book of Concord. And so you've got the statements that we've used repeatedly, freed will, you know, the healing of our nature. This is language in the formula that brand of Lutheran finds to be very problematic. And I mean, even I think the ultimate trace of it in the 20th century really comes down to Werner Ehlert. Yeah.
Just identify him. And why do you say that? For those who have no idea who Werner Ehlert was.
He's a, you know, prime theologian of the Erlangen School.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time of renewal in reading Luther. But Ehlert, in his writing, The Structure of Lutheranism, it's published by CPS, you can get it and read it. He's very clear in there that I really wish that the formula had not put it like this, because it's just too easy to misunderstand when we talk about cooperation. I mean, he is just death on that. And yet
he rejects what the formula has to say.
I don't think he's rejecting. He's squirming.
He doesn't want to reject it. But as you move forward, Gerhard Ferdi is very, very openly rejects the formula, openly rejects anything we would recognize as a Christian view of Scripture. I mean, and these things are not accidents.
Yeah, they go together.
And so a great book that I learned a lot about preaching from is Gerhard Ferdi's Theology is for Proclamation. Tons of great insights.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn, I mean, we learn things from Cyprian, although maybe his baptismal theology is not the best. I've learned tons of stuff from Thomas Aquinas, although his sacramental theology is not the best. We do not need to be insular in who we read, but we really need to be discerning. And when you have a theologian who is so radically different from you that he has a very different view of what Scripture is, you know, Gerhard Ferdi is also a universalist, you know, you can go right down the line, that should cause you to be I mean, if he's got so much wrong, are we so sure he's got what we call the key to understanding the scriptures right? I mean, if he's got so much wrong, how could he have justification right? And I don't think he does.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, along with Pastor Will Whedon. We're talking about the Christian life. When we come back, we'll turn to the subject of Christian freedom.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
I was standing in a pulpit doing this sermon on Good Friday. I was contemplating and planning my own death.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Today what I'm going to talk to you about is the story of depression and mental illness, and especially the story of how this fits with the gospel and what incredible treasures we have as Lutherans who kind of get two kingdoms, body, soul, and spirit, who understand what it means to suffer.
You can listen to Pastor Peppercorn's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran View of Depression, on an audio DVD from both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Christian life on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Pastor Heath Curtis. He is Coordinator of LCMS Stewardship and author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life, are our guests. Let's turn to the subject of Christian freedom. I think I've heard lately from several fellow Lutherans who, maybe they're just being sloppy, but then nonetheless it's been said that Christian freedom is, and I think that taking this from Gerhard Fruerdy, the freedom to do whatever they want. Now, what do you want to do? And my problem with that, gentlemen, is the first part, to do whatever it is you want. Because I don't think Scripture ever speaks of Christian freedom as doing what you want.
We need to be clear that in the Bible, what freedom is to be in the house of the Father. This is what, I mean, if you ask, what is it to be free?
A son.
The son sets you free by bringing you into the Father's house. Read Luke 15, read John 8. Freedom is to be with the Father. Freedom is not to do your own thing. The prodigal son thought freedom was, I can do whatever I want to do. And he found out he ended up a slave living that way. All he ended up was a slave. And it was as a slave that the dawn begins to break into his heart. He's like, you know what? It wasn't like this in Dad's. No. And so the journey back home.
Another way to think about what I've called cliche theology is your rhetoric running your theology, or is the theology running the rhetoric? So, and what you just mentioned about, okay, you're free, do whatever you want. This is theology being driven by a little piece of Augustine's rhetoric. I'll give another example, same thing. Augustine's a very influential guy. We've had struggles in Lutheranism because our theology of the ministry has been driven by the rhetoric of Augustine's example of two guys on a boat, there's a shipwreck, one baptizes the other one. He's making a very specific theological point there, but we've let that very, you know, catches in your mind. It's a little parable. And we've let that drive our theology, all kinds of problems. Same thing here. Augustine has this famous quip, love God and do whatever you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's very good homiletical rhetoric. And in the rest of the sermon, boy, he goes on and unpacks that. What he means is, if you are right with God, if you are loving Him, if you are focused on the Lord, you will only want to do good, to follow His law.
To put it like Luther would say, if you kept the first commandment, you're going to keep the rest.
Exactly. And that's good rhetoric, and it's making a very specific point. But then to allow that rhetoric to drive your theology, that's problematic. Because the fact is, we are sin. Here's the proper use of sinner and saint. We are sinner and saint. And so I find it very easy to convince myself that the things I want are good. So what do I need? I need the law to show me what love looks like. Love does not look like, I'm sure all my Bible classes are completely sick and tired of all my examples, but I always talk about Gilligan's Island. And, you know, it's not okay for Thurston Howell III to run off with Ginger. He might think he really loves her, and she might think that she really loves him. But you can know for certain that's not love. Because the law says you should not commit adultery. So the law shows me the shape of love. There's a bi-directional equal sign between the law and love. And sometimes Jesus has to criticize the Pharisees because they have forgotten that love is the fulfillment of the law, and they take this jot and tittle and twist it into don't pull your son out of a pit on the Sabbath day or don't heal on the Sabbath day. On the other hand, there's another problem. When you think, well, love wins, right? And we know this rhetoric from our own day and age, the rhetoric of love overcoming any kind of limit, any kind of line, any kind of trespass. And then that's where St. Paul comes to the Corinthians and says, you know, this is not how Christians act. We keep the sixth commandment.
There is a great quote from one of these British murder mysteries where the priest is getting after a person that had been committing adultery, and they were calling it, they did it for love's sake. And he says, don't you use that word. You have lost the right. Because they were thinking that that emotion would justify anything.
Correct. Right.
And I mean, that's what we're up against when people use that way.
Mm-hmm.
You both have mentioned baptism and what it is baptism begins in the Christian, accomplishes and begins. Mm-hmm. It both accomplishes something, 100% justification. Mm-hmm. And it begins something that proceeds and fits and starts, at least my experience is, proceeds and fits and starts as depending on what stage of life you're in. What about someone saying, well, look, the only thing that there is to the Christian life in Lutheran theology is just remember your baptism.
Mm-hmm.
How would you respond to that?
You know, I think that Schmemann's idea on this was a good one, where he said that baptism is the forgiveness of sin. The act of baptism is not its removal, but it introduces the sword of Christ into your life. And so there's going to be this constant dying that happens as a result of baptism and the constant resurrection.
Yeah. You know, baptism, what we need, a renewal of our baptismal theology here would be very helpful. Because again, we're so used to arguing against, we want to argue against the Roman Catholic Church,
right,
which teaches that original sin is removed in baptism.
Right.
They teach that that you no longer have any original sin. You just have the
sinful tendencies.
Sinful tendencies, but you don't, you know, it's
that are not sin.
That are not sin in themselves, which is why the Roman Catholic Church has always struggled with dealing with homosexuality, but that's another topic for another day, because they refuse to say that inclinations are also sinful. So we're used to arguing against that, and we say, no, baptism's not going to make you perfect. Look at Romans 7. So here we are back in Romans 7. But we ignore then, you need to keep reading into Romans 8, mm-hmm. where St. Paul says, but you know, the Holy Spirit's in you. The baptism did something real that's not, okay, here's the real thing. Baptism is not forensic, not fully forensic. Baptism introduces a reality. The Holy Spirit is now actually in you, and He operates with you, and you cooperate with Him, and He gives you new desires, new love, new powers is another word that our the confessions
powers,
use.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure I would say it's not fully forensic. I think it is fully forensic, but it's forensic in God's sense, that when He speaks a word, His word causes to be what He says to be.
Yes.
And to pretend that the word hasn't done anything. I mean, that's really, in various discussions I've had online with people about this, mm-hmm. it comes down to, they really believe it's going to be only an eschatological reality. There is no reality in this life of that new life. And it's right. Like, no, that is absolutely not the way Scripture or the confessions
and
ever speak.
The changed lives of Christians are one of the things that have driven the mission of the church.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
What we're seeing here, though, is an example of how allowing the rhetoric to run your theology truncates all of our theology. So mm-hmm. then the Holy Spirit is all powerful to bring to life a dead sinner.
Yeah.
But once that's done, He kind of
checks out,
is
right.
too tired to go on. And it's when we say Holy Spirit, we mean God's word too, because the two are always together. Mm-hmm. That God's word can somehow declare a sinner righteous, but doesn't seem like it can do much after that. My explanation for why St. Paul will end his epistles as he does with these admonitions is because Paul knows that the word of God is powerful 100%, yes. not only to declare a man righteous, but to work in him the fruit of faith that comes from that faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul's so confident of this, he says, let me show you what this life looks like, and let me urge you, even command you toward this life.
I think we've not done justice to the genitive and Galatians 2:20, that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And it seems to me that all of Paul's admonitions finally come down to this. Let the faith of Christ, His trust in the Father, let that be your faith. Let that shape how you think, what you believe, everything about this world. It will transform you from the inside out. And then you have Paul very clear. I mean, what on earth do you do with the, you know, being changed from one degree of glory to another?
Right.
Not future. He's not talking about future. He's talking about now. As you see the glory of God in the face of Christ, you are changed now. That's to see the mind of Christ, to live the faith of Christ.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He is author of a book that is just out today called Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recovering the Joys of Piety. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest as well. He's author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can find a link to both of these books at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order both Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey and Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by Pastor Will Wheaton and Pastor Heath Curtis. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to do a little comparison and contrast. Similar things, different things, comparing the biblical teaching on the Christian life with that of American evangelicals, Roman Catholics, and the Orthodox. Stay tuned.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Be transported back into the town of Bethlehem and hear the townspeople talk of the special night when Mary and Joseph arrived, the star appeared above, and Jesus' birth. Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Chesterfield invites you to a nativity drama Friday evening, December the 1st from 6 to 8, and Saturday and Sunday afternoon, December the 2nd and 3rd from 2 to 5. Handicapped accessible. Call 636-532-0400. Free of charge, appropriate for all ages.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, sung by the Cantorai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. This plays all day, all night, all year round, following the course of the church year, and it's absolutely free. At the beginning of the Advent season this Sunday, you'll begin to hear your favorite Advent hymns on sacred music for the world anytime, day or night, at lutheranpublicradio.org. And on the LPR mobile app. We're talking about the Christian life. Pastor Will Whedon and Pastor Heath Curtis are our guests. Now, Pastor Curtis, you made a great point a moment ago that if we only do our theology in reaction to errors, we'll never say everything that Scripture has to say about any given topic. But in the few minutes left to us, let's do a little comparison and contrast. How are what we've been talking about here, how are these things similar and different to the Christian life as it is presented in American evangelicalism?
Well, taking American evangelical Christianity in its widest swath, they and we would both say and agree that we're saved by grace alone. that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves me. And now we begin to diverge a bit. And I can't remember who the guy who said it, but every step down the road to Arminianism is a step toward Rome. That they really have a very similar theology, you know, Billy Graham's decision theology really is very similar to Roman Catholic decision theology, that there's that you are set on kind of a neutral ground before the Holy Spirit comes to your life. So we would disagree with them there. As we move into the focus of the Christian life, I actually think that the difference becomes a sacramental piety versus a non-sacramental piety, because my focus and growth in the Christian life can be rooted in looking back to my baptism and the new gifts the Holy Spirit's given me in that baptism. I don't need to gin up the emotional energy to speak in tongues. I can look back to my baptism and know the Holy Spirit's with me. I don't need to, you know, move forward into seeking an emotional experience to kind of meter my growth in the Christian life. I can be focused on coming to the Lord's house, hearing His word, receiving my Lord Jesus. When I struggle with sin, I can go to the called and ordained servant of the word, confess it, name it, receive forgiveness for it. Now, what else do you want to say about American evangelical Christianity and how they seek the godly life?
Well, let me ask you this, Will. Is the problem, and it took me years to get the answer to this question right, is the problem with American evangelical preaching that they preach the law? I think what happens a lot is that Lutherans look at American evangelical preaching, they say, well, they're preaching the law and they have so precious little gospel to answer the law. Their problem is they're preaching the law. So
but they don't.
If I don't want to be an evangelical, I'm not going to do that.
Part of the problem is, but they don't actually preach. I mean,
in the best possible sense.
I think that's too harsh on them. I think your standard Southern Baptist preacher, real preaching degree, real denomination. We've got our disagreements, but okay. I think the focus is that the deficiency is in their piety, so that all they have to talk about in their piety is, and this is why it begins to, in the same way that a diet of the cliched Lutheran, you're a sinner, but Jesus loves you. That's true. But if that's the only diet you ever get, you soon become an antinomian who denies sanctification because you never hear about it. In the same way, I would say that American evangelicals, what they're missing is that all they ever hear from their pastor is, 3 steps to raise your kids well, you know, 9 steps to a stronger prayer life.
Good advice. It's
good advice. And so that is nothing, none of that's wrong. And Lutherans could probably stand a little more preaching that's how to live a godly life. But when I'm on the run seeing shut-ins, I will stop by and get a $3 lunch at McDonald's. If I do that every day, I'm not going to be healthy. McDonald's. Sorry, McDonald's. I'm human. I eat bread, Whedon. It's in the Bible. Emmer wheat, I'm sure. But
Emmer wheat. Yes, you better believe it. Yeah.
But okay. I need a balanced diet. I need to hear my sins accused. I need to hear my sins forgiven. And I need to be encouraged that I'm the Father's child. I have a new life and follow me. In other words, I need to hear a whole epistle over the course of a month of going to church. You know, that kind of preaching you're going to hear. I don't need to always only hear, here you go. Lutherans can go bad if they only ever preach Romans 3 and 4, and they never make it to 6, 7, and 8. And American evangelicals go bad because all they ever preach is Romans 8. How about that?
And there is so much on the way that they, because they don't have the sacramental piety. Mm-hmm. They throw the Christian back on what I guess I'm going to call his imagination. I mean, it really comes down to this. If you say to somebody, okay, so there's salvation for you in the blood of Jesus, and you ask a Baptist, so where's the blood of Jesus? What are they going to say? Yeah. They have no, I mean, it's only an idea. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's actually in the water and in the cup. And for us, that's the difference between, you know, life and death. The blood isn't an idea. The blood's a reality. He pours down your throat.
So then how would biblical Lutheran teaching on the Christian life be similar and different to those of our fellow Christians who do believe that the blood is in the cup
I'm thinking here about Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy. How would the difference be there? Much of what Lutheran theology, how it has historically expressed itself, has been done in contradistinction to Rome's teaching here.
So it's very ironic that kind of what Pastor Weed and I are talking about trying to reclaim as the Lutheran view of sanctification. The problem with Roman Catholicism is that they treat justification and sanctification as the same thing. So we were just talking about how a problem, Lutheranism can go bad if you conflate justification and sanctification and pretend that the rules for sanctification are the rules for justification. That's how you end up with antinomianism, once saved, always saved, and so forth. Roman Catholicism is doing the opposite error. They're grouping together justification and sanctification, but they're trying to make justification run by how the biblical way that sanctification runs. So they say justification is progressive. I'm growing in my justification. That's why you got to have purgatory at the end to work out what you didn't get worked out. You can't enter heaven without being justified. You won't be justified in the Roman Catholic system until you and the Holy Spirit work that out together. By the way, have you read Tolkien's weird story about purgatory?
No.
Okay, next time.
So what would you say about that, a contrast between a biblical Lutheran view of the Christian life and that which is, given what Heath just said.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways that you can hold it together is that Lutherans would encourage you, and biblically encourage you, that you grow in grace, and in Rome and in the East also, that grace grows in you. It's something in Rome, literally a created substance that's put into you, in Orthodoxy, an uncreated substance, but still put into you. And it's like the radiation pill, whatever. It does its miracle to improve you. Its job is to help you be better. Whereas I think, you know, this picture that we have is that you're literally dumped into this thing that is so bad. It's so vast, so big. You're never, throughout all eternity, you will never grow to the fullest. And you will keep on growing. There's another whole subperiod is oh, static. Be perfect there. Right. I mean, static. It's like, that's not it. You know, it's going to grow. You will grow into it forever. It's like saying the kid who dumps in the ocean says, well, I know all there is to know about the ocean. I've been in it. there's a lot more to it than that. But the Roman Catholic idea would be, or I mean, I don't want to be unkind to them in that way, but I really think that, is that unfair to Thomas? I mean, that's kind of the way he talks about grace as a substance that comes into you to achieve this salvation, as opposed to you being dumped into it.
Finally, for both of you, what is the comfort that is found in a truly biblical Lutheran teaching of the Christian life? There are those among us who would say, you can't find any comfort in a teaching on any kind of teaching on the Christian life, because that would be putting your focus on yourself. But in the course of this conversation, I have noticed that neither of you have been willing to put the focus in the Christian life on yourself. What's the true comfort in the biblical teaching on the Christian
life? Your Father loves you.
Yeah.
You are pleasing to Him. Here's the other side of this, the truncated version. It's also depressing to just constantly hear, all I am is a screw-up, I never do anything right, et cetera, et cetera. But look what Jesus does, you know, in Matthew 25. Look at all these good things you did for me. What, we did stuff for you?
Yeah.
You know, my focus, yeah. But God is well pleased with you. You're the son and daughter of God. You're called to something better. You're growing. You're stumbling. You're sinning. But you're the Father's child. And without that, you know, I read all these profound pieces on the interwebs about how I discovered grace and what a terrible person I am, and no wonder I was always failing. And that, I get it. I get it. For someone who's been starved for grace, boy, it feels like that. But that week in and week out, forever and ever, amen, I'm worthless and no good. And no, I'm, hey, God picked me up. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a guy who struggles a lot. I fail a lot. But I'm a new man in Christ. I'm pleasing to my Father in Christ.
Back to Luke 15 again. I mean, look at how the Father interacts with both of the sons. Mm-hmm. I mean, the screw-up who comes home, arms thrown around him, the party to celebrate. And then, you know, the self-righteous person, I started to use bad language there. He's thinking himself so, you
Pastor
know.
Pastor Whedon's sanctification is still growing.
It most certainly is. So he's really proud of himself, right? You know, and he looks down so much on his, and what is the Father? Son, you're with me always. Look, everything I have is yours. It's right. for us to rejoice and be glad. This is the Father's love in which sanctification really takes root and grows. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden you look at this Father and you go, ah, what a Father. Mm-hmm. Who would ever have dreamt of such a kind and loving Father? And then you want to please Him.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts a radio show called Thy Strong Word. He is author of the new book, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, coordinator of LCMS Stewardship, and author of the book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. Heath, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Pastors Whedon and Curtis will be back next month to respond to your questions or comments on the Christian life. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the ministerial use of feelings, and we'll get a review of the movie Wonder from Pastor Ted Geese. Several years ago, I met a woman, and she said, oh, I'm so happy to finally be a Lutheran. Now I can stop talking and hearing about sanctification. And the light bulb came on for me. And I realized how wrong I'd been for so many years thinking things like that. Because, of course, sanctification is the work of God. It's the good work of God, of the Holy Spirit. Why would we want to stop hearing about what the Holy Spirit does? Especially because sanctification follows the great work of justification. Both go together, and both are the gracious gift of Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.